Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast today is November 22, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit, when last time we did one of these?
Yeah, man.
About summertime?
Nah. About 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. We've been all over the place. Nye's not here today. She's traveling back from California. So me and Sean are going to hold it down.
Yeah.
Give you all a little something to hold for the holidays.
Yeah. When your uncle getting on your nerves.
When your uncle getting on your nerves and mom and them in the kitchen gossiping and y'all, you ain't allowed in there. You know what I'm saying? You come in and get something to drink, everybody get quiet as you stand at you.
They talking about family business.
They talking about family business. Even though you growing, you ain't grown. I got to give me a quick shout out to the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, yeah, y'all put one off.
Yeah, we're number one in the AFC, period, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kicking ass this year.
Wait, but what is what's the name's record? What's
I think we're a game. I think they're 7-2, and okay. I think they haven't had. I don't know if they had their bye yet.
Okay,
or something like that. Yeah. So right now we're the number one in the whole AFC. We 8-2, pulled off another one Monday night. You're looking good out there, man. Like all these games are the games we would usually lose. Yeah. All of these are the games that was like we could have won that, but so and so fumbled or just did some dumb shit, and you know. But this year, it's been popping, man. It's been real exciting for us. So, you know, it's been a long time since the Raiders have played football like this.
Yeah, like top notch level.
Top notch level football, like so. This is big. You got any shouts or anything, man?
You know what? I actually had a shout for Nye's sister, Cheyenne.
Oh, yeah.
Peace to her. She did a TED Talk, I believe it was in Massachusetts.
Yeah, because she lived in Boston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to give a shout out to her. Nye was like super, super proud. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to show some love.
Absolutely.
And, you know, say peace to her.
What was the talk about? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I saw a picture of it.
Yeah, I saw the picture, but I didn't know what the topic was.
Yeah, but I didn't know what the topic was. But I just
whatever. She still did it. Dope, right? It was dope. Yeah, you did a TED Talk. That's just hot. So good look to you, Shy. We appreciate you. I want to give a quick shout to Faith Newman, who had her annual birthday party Saturday night up in Harlem. Went through there, had a good time. Saw a lot of familiar faces. And it came outside, and the weather was crazy.
Yeah, bananas.
Like, bananas. Like, it's cold. It's snowing. It's like, it just turned, I mean, it was cool, but now it's cold.
Bro, we were at a fundraiser.
Saturday
night. So,
you had your hard bottoms on?
Had my good shoes.
Good shoes on. With my good.
Like my good. You know, the shit you be a little shaky to bend your foot.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. You want no creases.
Yeah, you want to, you know, stick your foot out a little bit, show the sock.
Yeah, you push your foot way down so you
don't crease. Yo, dude, have my good shit on. And we, you know, pull up to the fundraiser. It was cool. It was a little chilly, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, it was cool.
So I didn't have on a coat, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, by the time the fundraiser was over, it was a sheet of ice outside.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yo.
It was crazy.
There was a pregnant lady. I had to, like, and I'm freezing. So I'm walking her to her car. She left her coat in the car. So she's arms out, belly
pushed out. Yeah.
And she trying to skate through the parking lot with heels on. It was crazy. Ice. Crazy.
Yeah, bro. So it's officially winter right now in New York for those who don't live here. It's brick. It's gloves, it's hats, it's scarves, it's boots.
Yeah, I was working outside this morning and I like had to like put on gloves.
Yeah.
Which it's cold. I normally don't.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah. It's cold. Yeah, so I had a good time with Faith's thing. I actually, like, her and I don't know, we talking about it. Like, we talked about it a little bit today and I was like, maybe, me and her talking about maybe doing like a holiday thing together. okay. holiday party, like at the same kind of vibe. We'll see.
That sounds dope.
Yeah. You know, we're gonna have another discussion. Oh, and Peace the Country Cousin, her have plenty of brunches during their holiday event next the 5th.
Okay.
December 5th. I guess that's the last one of 2017. And this year she's been, the Have Plenty Brunch has been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I know she did some in D.C. I think she did some in Paris or something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she did some overseas. She might have done an L.A. one. Like I think she did Atlanta. She's been moving it around. It hasn't been in New York every month like before. So, yeah. So this one, for the end of the year, could be a big one because it hasn't been in New York for a minute.
Yeah.
So she's turned that to a thing. So I just want to show her some love, too. And then one last thing. There's a series that I watched on Netflix called Chewing Gum. It was only 6 episodes. It was like real, real quick. It's about this black girl, African girl. It's based in London.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 24 years old. And she's a virgin. It's like a comedy kind of.
Okay.
She's a virgin, but like unlike most of the virgins that they see in these type of shows, like she's not like some, you know, quiet, like, you know, in the corner. Mm-hmm. Like she's trying to lose her virginity. She's like hot and ready to go. You know what I'm saying? So I'll show these like it's her and her mom and her sister and you know. Boyfriend, so all these kind of cast of characters. Only 6 episodes, like a sitcom, but it's written and produced by the lead girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forget her name now, but she's like a, you know, like kind of like a, almost like an Issa Rae of England. You know what I mean? It's not the same type of show, but that, like, you know, writes and produces and, you know, and everything. So
quirky humor.
Very quirky humor. So, you know, if you got some time over the holiday, I say, like, you know, you're getting your, you know, you're getting your turkey sandwich on, your leftovers.
Yeah.
You know, check it out, you know? Then we got 2 RIPs. Gwen Ifill.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get to mention last week, who was a stellar news journalist.
Yeah.
Hosted a vice presidential debate and just did, like, a ton of news on, you know, network news, PBS. She was also a
writer, I believe.
Yeah, Washington Post as well for many years.
Yeah. Coyne Heiser and them gave her a pretty big shout out.
Yeah. She died at 61. of cancer and apparently kept her sickness pretty quiet.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know. She just, once she got to the point where she couldn't come out, she just kind of like, you know, stayed in the house. So people, she didn't go through the thing where people were seeing her with like lose her hair and blah. Apparently, like, once she went downhill fairly quickly.
Okay.
So, but, you know, a lot of people were obviously hurt by that.
Yeah, it was a surprise, I think.
Yeah. Because a lot of people didn't, they knew she wasn't well, but they didn't know it was.
To the end.
And then another RIP to Sharon Jones.
Yeah.
From the Dap Kings, who again died from cancer. Her and Gwen are basically the same age. I think Gwen was 61 and Sharon was 60.
Wow.
Yeah. Both died of cancer. But Sharon's story is a little, I mean, you know, she has an amazing background in music. She fronted this group called the Dap Kings. She didn't get kind of her shot at fame until she was like 40 years old.
Mm.
But then, you know, by that point, like Prince had played with her and they toured all the time and she became.
Yeah, there was a clip floating around where Prince surprised her on stage.
Yeah. He came out and she was well loved and well received in the music. But an interesting twist to her death was she was watching the election results. And the election results apparently stressed her out so much that it caused her to have a stroke.
Yeah,
you know, because she just said she said her bandmates were just saying that she was one of her bandmates. This cat named Gabriel Roth said that she said that you know she had a stroke watching election results, after the she couldn't move her leg, but she kept talking. And she said that she kept telling people Trump gave her the stroke because she just couldn't believe that he won.
Yeah.
And then that night went to the hospital and, you know, never made it back.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I can imagine for someone who's 61 and black, that the extreme sort of what, you know, when you think about Barack and sort of
the pride of
that, and then coming to this, like that swing, that emotional swing has been so extreme.
Yeah,
I could imagine that. I mean, listen, you know, musicians also live a very, they live a hard life. Even as best you can. And from what I gather, like she's a real touring musician.
Absolutely.
And touring musicians, even when they have incredible accommodations, it is still a strain on your body.
Mm-hmm.
You're not eating properly.
You're not sleeping.
You're not. There is no. The only consistency is inconsistency mm-hmm. on the road. And so that becomes a very difficult life. You get used to it because it's how you earn a living. It's how you pay your bills. It's how you keep people employed. But that can weigh on you. And it definitely, and I can tell you, it affects your immune system. I mean, obviously she had died from what you would consider sort of complications that were long standing, right? Mm. Like you just don't wake up and have a stroke.
Yeah.
Right? But like, yeah, that stress and, you know, sort of being out there, that stuff, it really, really takes its toll on you.
Where's you now?
Yeah, man.
Where's you now? So, wanted to give a shout out to her. Wanted to give some love to President Obama, who today gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to several people who probably wouldn't have gotten the award if he hadn't have done it.
Yeah.
So the list is Bruce Springsteen, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro, Ellen DeGeneres, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Diana Ross, Bill and Melinda Gates, Robert Redford, Vin Scully.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Frank Gehry, who's a well-known architect. Cicely Tyson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Cicely Tyson got one. And I feel like I'm forgetting.
That was Grandma Rob. Grandma Rob pushed that through.
No, you know, me and Cicely been talking, Barack. And just think that
exactly.
She done earned it.
Yeah,
you seen
Miss Jane Pittman.
You seen Miss Jane Pittman. You seen her in that Tyler Perry movie, that one I like. so yeah, so and I'm forgetting somebody else. I'm sorry, who else? Oh, Lorne Michaels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a variety of people got the awards today, and people were emotional, and Barack actually called out the Jordan shit. He was like, people don't know Michael Jordan is more than a icon. He's more than an internet meme. He said that shit.
Yeah,
and Jordan was crying. So, like, now they claim they got, like, a new crying Jordan face because he was crying to get the award.
Yeah.
And then when Barack said that, like, Jordan just kind of, like, he, like, you know, snickered and shook his head.
Yeah.
But he basically told it to the kids, like, you know, y'all done got him out here, but, like, y'all don't realize the player that he was, you know. Because it's been a long time since he retired.
Yeah, I mean, you know, kids just, you know.
In those shoes.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, to me, you know, he's just he's a mythical figure now to these kids, right?
Yeah.
Like, they, you know, but you'd have to me, you have to sort of experience that through life in order to really get the gravity
of
what that was.
Yeah.
Like, him putting that 63 up on him in the Boston Garden and going through the legs seven times,
six times,
and you know the dunks with Dominique, the dunk contest and all that,
and obviously the kicks. See, now it's different because everything is retro, but like, you know, not to sound like the old dude, but I guess I am. But like the kicks as they were coming, so you didn't know what they were going to look like because there was no Jordan 4 until you saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what's coming. And again, it wasn't the internet and all that then, so it wasn't like you were getting leaked pictures.
When you got to see those, they were on someone's feet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or in the Foot Locker or whatever. It was like, oh, you know, so, and obviously then like retiring, winning three. Retiring, playing baseball, then coming back and winning three more. Like,
crazy.
Like, yeah, I mean, the Olympics, like, a lot of Space Jam, like, you know, like a lot of stuff was going on, man, you know, so yeah, but you know, I just want to say peace to all of them. I think that was a kind of on a shout out tip. Wanted to mention, I didn't get to watch the first ep of Love and Hip Hop last night. Because a piece to Chris Atlas, he calls me. He's like, yo, I got 2 tickets to go see Party Next Door. Your man, you the man you love. Party Next Door and Jeremiah. They're playing at Terminal 5, which is right up the block from the job.
I know, yeah. Jordan to Terminal 5
for a concert. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I was like, first I was gonna bail because again it was cold.
Yeah,
I had got up mad early,
and it's cold as fuck over there because you on the water.
Yeah, and the wind is whipping.
Yeah,
you know the hawk is out, right? Yeah. And then I got up mad early yesterday because I had an early meeting at the gig, and I was there all day, of course. And so it was a Monday, and I was like, I'm mad tired, but I was like, no, I'm just gonna go. So the show didn't start till 9. Doors open till 9, so I was like, I guess I'll just sit in the office and chill. And then around 9:10, this nigga calls me. Is like, "Hey, bro."
I know that call.
Not to put his business out there, but he took off for the week.
Okay.
So he lives in Jersey. So he's like, "I'm not coming to the city on a Monday night." And like, yeah. Why? Like, I'm off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bruh.
Yeah.
I could have been home. Yeah. So I miss Love and Hip Hop, but I watched Black Ink.
Okay.
But I was reading online. It looked like the first ep of Love and Hip Hop had a little fireworks to it. Did you? You don't watch.
You
get the dailies and the early stuff.
Nah, really, I don't. I don't participate in the show online.
Yeah,
the way I do with other.
Yeah.
So it is not. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily look at stuff the same.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's not an enjoy. I don't look at it.
It's work.
Exactly. So you're looking at it a little differently.
Yeah.
You know, critiquing it a little differently.
Of course.
But yeah, but I watched Black Ink though.
Yeah. So let's get into Black Ink then. So I actually hadn't seen the last couple episodes. They're on the DVR, but I just hadn't caught up.
Okay.
But Black Ink is weird because. Like, I've realized this season, like, you can skip an episode or two and you don't lose your place because these niggas do the same shit every week. Like, they just act like asses every week. So, I just might have missed some asshole behavior, but yeah. I didn't feel like I didn't know any of the storyline. I was like, oh yeah, this nigga's still trying to marry, what's her name? Ashley.
Yeah.
You know, Don still messing around with the girl that he met through Charmaine, you know, what's her name? With the teeth. What's her name? Cat. Still mad at 4. Like, it's like, I'm like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
Pretty much,
you know. So they went to the Bahamas, Dominican Republic, because Don is pressed to get married because he's got to go to jail for a month.
Yes. And like, you want to have a bachelor party. Like, my nigga, you just came home with a baby. Okay?
Nigga.
Like, bachelor parties are for men who are not bringing home
children, outside
babies.
Exactly.
Like,
that you just found out about.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing? So he goes to the DR. Of course, I think it's probably for show, but he claims on the show that he was just going to go with the dudes. He didn't know Charmaine and Kat and I forget old girl. With the big eyes.
Danielle.
That they were coming.
Yeah.
So then he gets down there, because he got there after them. He flew down there after them.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets there. I think he flew with his brother, I think, right?
I came in like,
I don't remember, but whatever. But he got down there after them. So he gets there, and he's like, yo, what are they doing here? So, of course, your girl Charmaine is doing the same shit, taking her top off, twerking in front of everybody with the thong on.
Yeah.
It's so whack.
Yeah, like, she's corny.
Yo, you whack, yo. Like it's too much.
Yeah, she's just super corny and it's really, and like I said,
it's desperate.
She needs auntie intervention right now.
Yeah, for real.
She needs a good, like, she needs Nah and like the like that
yeah,
crew.
Yeah. To be like,
to we grab her to up
yeah.
and sit her down.
Yeah, we're going to brunch.
Yes.
And we're going to be in the back room where we can yell a little
Put your phone face down on the table.
Turn your phone off.
Yeah, you need to hear all of
this. Yeah, no distractions.
Like, yo, it's just, it's crazy. And it's just, it's honestly, like, you start to wonder, right? Like, she's a pretty woman.
Yeah.
And then you start to wonder, like,
what's
is
good?
This a cry for attention?
Yeah.
Is it attention from this guy in particular? Is it just attention?
Yeah.
Because it just
why are you always yelling? Why are you always taking your clothes off? Why? Like, all the time. Like, look, even if you're trying to get a dude to blaze, if you take your top off and you grind, and every time I see you, it's no excitement. Yeah, it's not exciting for you to take your clothes off because you do it like every
all
show.
All the time. There is absolutely nothing sexy about her. There's nothing, like I said before, like there's nothing alluring about her.
Nothing.
Like her conversation seems trash. She just seems like a real, like just, I don't know. It just seems like an easy person to just deal with, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's just, yeah, like, yo, Saturday night,
yeah,
we got drunk, and popped then, like, off. But literally by Sunday, dude is like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, like, you know, again, you know, we saw on the show that she went home to New Orleans, and it seems like, you know, she comes from a pretty solid family background. So, like, I can't imagine when her parents and them is, and her aunties is watching the show, and like, even because, you know, when she went back to on the show anyway, she, you know, she had on more demure clothes. She was definitely way toned down. So they got to be like, yo, what the hell?
I think that I mean, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, she was sheltered, and so she's out and she's sewing up.
She's like 27.
I was getting ready to say, she's a little old.
Yeah.
She's a little long in the tooth for that as an excuse. And so, I mean, listen, if you want to smash, and like, no one's judging her sexuality.
Yeah,
like, no one's judging
not
her
at all.
Or what she wants to do. It's just kind of how she's going about it. It's just like real, it's just bad. Like,
but you know what's wild? It's like, if you really think about it, she's on, as far as I remember, she's only blazed Don on the show. So it ain't even like she's got this, unless she's hiding it. It's like she has this carousel full of dudes. The only dude I remember her blazing was Don. But it's just the behavior in general, like at the shop. Yeah. Anywhere you go, she's like stripping down. I was like, what is wrong with
it's
you,
too
man?
Much.
It's too much. Much. Anyway, so Don goes down there to do his bachelor party. And, you know, by the second night, they invite some Dominican strippers over. And your man, you know, they grinding on him or whatever. Your man slides upstairs with one. Closes the door, blazes, and promise you, he definitely blazed raw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Condom wasn't even.
Yeah. They ain't even had time to put a rubber on.
Really?
They ain't had time to put a rubber on.
Exactly. So he blazing a Dominican stripper raw 2 days before he's supposed to get married to old girl. And VH1 did it slick because they cutting back and forth between her actually shopping for her wedding dress and this dude with vagina in his face.
And, you know, look, man, like, I get wanting to sort of have this experience, and you're trying to make this, you know, this bachelor party thing, like, you know, do better, man. Do a little bit of planning. Make it fun.
Yeah, have some activities.
Make it fun, dude. Like, you, first of all, listen, God bless those women, but they're using strippers very loosely because
those are prostitutes.
Yes, they were selling ass.
Yeah, those prostitutes.
Okay, let's cut the shit.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't even work first shift at a good strip club.
At like the 11 a.m.
11 a.m. shift. They can't even get that.
Yeah.
When the real pervs is
exactly.
In
the truck drivers.
Exactly.
Earl.
And Mr. Earl on his lunch break from the phone company. Gotta do the phone more. They couldn't even work in there. Like, it was just, and it just felt, you got the sense that that's exactly what happened was exactly what was supposed to happen.
Like, we'll dance for a little bit, and then the homegirl was like, basically, hey, let's go upstairs and fuck.
Yeah, well, then.
You know, like, I'm sure they look like they have a paid beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, hey, let's go upstairs. In the Dominican Republic, you know, for many women, this is what they do. They get money.
Yeah.
They get money from the tourists.
Yeah.
And it's part of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, next week we'll see the
But yo, I got a problem with the junior dude.
Which one's Junior?
Junior's the new guy.
Oh, the Spanish guy.
Yeah, like, yo, fam. Like, yo, why the fuck are you up there by the room with the women giggling, man?
Yeah.
Like, yo,
putting your ear to the door.
Putting your ear, like, what the fuck is going on, bro?
Yeah.
Like, all the other guys
stay downstairs.
Are downstairs.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there's almost like a, little secret. It's almost like a hear no evil, see no evil, right? Like, if I don't know what happened.
If I don't really know.
I don't really, really know. I can't say I know.
Yeah, cause I wasn't there. Yeah, I didn't go
upstairs. I was downstairs.
I had a drink.
I was drunk. I ain't seen nothing. You know? And so, dude, and what's really bugging me is that he's up there trying to, like, be slick and sort of slide in with whoever might give him some play. And he hoping his cat.
Yeah.
So he's up, you know, it just felt really schoolgirlish, right? It felt like for a dude, like, come on, yo. Like, yeah, that's like, fucking corny.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you're not going to get no ass this way, trust me.
At all, it's my nigga. Like, work at out for you. All. At it's all. Not gonna,
what did you think about the whole thing with Cat and Four?
I think Cat, I think, this is what I think about Cat. I think Cat wanted a puppy. And Four was her puppy.
Like the right. Dude that you can basically like
call him at 2 o'clock.
Tell him I'm hungry.
I'm hungry. I was just getting ready to say it. Call him. Tell him I'm hungry. He gonna go out to a fucking godforsaken neighborhood.
Yeah, get some Chinese
risk
food.
Risk his life to get you some Kennedy fried. Bring you back a sweet potato pie and a snack box. The little sweet potato pie. Damn, they got his hand blown off.
And the world just green.
And exactly. And a Snapple apple. Word. You know what I'm saying? And a cold.
Word.
So, word. That's what she wanted. She enjoys having men fawn over her.
True.
She likes it. And there's a shot that's perfectly fine. The problem she has right now is that she gave Four what would be tantamount to a sympathy fuck. Right, like she smashed him because it was a why not?
Why
she
not? Didn't really, he been over here. He fixed the couch. She wasn't my computer.
She wasn't feeling dude.
Yeah.
In a I see us sort of being together
or potential.
Way,
yeah.
At all, he was safe.
Yeah.
You know, he's somebody I know. You know, now when you hear her previous relationship, you can sort of see why
she went that
she would have gravitated toward a guy like that because he's safe. And what I really didn't like was that one, you know, look, I'm not suggesting at all that her story didn't play a part in her perception, but to make it seem like Four sort of played on that from the show, that's not what happened.
No.
Ford did. He never mentioned that shit.
Never.
He never played on it.
Nope.
You really mad because you smashed him and he's not head over heels.
Yeah, he got the ass one time and went back home to his girl and it's good.
And that's what's bothering you. And I'm going to tell you something else. I think the fact that she's beefing about old girl, and I'm going to just say it, is because she's dark skinned.
And black.
Yes. And she absolutely. Don't feel like that girl is badder than her.
Yeah, like how could you over me?
Exactly.
Yep.
That's all I felt.
Absolutely.
That's all I felt through that shit because her aggression was just so uncalled for. Yeah. It was so weird and sort of misplaced. And you know, listen, I mean, he's not really being accountable. He's kind of doing the fuckboy shit up.
Yeah.
I don't really know why y'all.
Why are you upset? Yeah.
You know, like you know why she's upset. Like don't pretend like you don't. But you know, Kat is really making it seem like. You wasn't head over heels for the nigga. Like,
yeah, like y'all was in a real relationship.
Stop. And by the way, safe.
Four's girl put two to the dome.
Quick.
Hold that. Because Four's girl's tall and.
Hold that.
Yeah, poop, poop, poop. You don't want none of this.
Yeah, hold that.
All that talking that Cat usually does, and old girl was like, I don't do no talking.
Even with this season, man, like. The aggressive nature, the arrogance that she's shown. It's just like, yo, like, where did that come from?
Yeah, yeah, what's this really about?
Yo, like, and again, man, you know, this is a part of TV, right? Like, this is a part of it.
I gotta make my character, and I gotta do
not really, not necessarily I gotta make my character, but remember, they go from being very obscure people to... Oh shit, everybody recognizes me when I go to our, what I like to call our spaces.
I got you.
When I'm down getting my hair stuff.
Yeah.
They all know me.
Yeah, they want pictures. They want,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So, and then there's this, you know, that sort of is a boost to the ego and you get that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I'm not, I'm not surprised at the behavior, but she's ODing with it.
Like, yeah. I'm a superstar. Yeah. It's like, nah.
And your man, Van.
Yo, I knew you had to say something about this.
Your man, Van, like my nigga, you were gone for 16 weeks, my nigga.
Acting like you was gone for 12 years.
My nigga, that's, like I said, that's not even a full season of Scandal, my nigga. Like, you, when you left... You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, her and Fitz was still fucking. Like, what are you talking about, my nigga? Like, what are we doing here?
Nigga acting like he was down for months.
Nigga was, I said, nigga acting like he was with Claude and Ray in life. Yeah, nigga was acting like he was on the train gang.
Nigga was at boot camp.
You wasn't in Angola. You was in the boot camp. Yo, and then to make it seem like, yo, you didn't, you weren't with the freaky shit. Okay.
Yeah.
You wanted to fuck the stripper, and you wanted your girl to give you a pass on fucking the stripper.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
I have thoughts about
you're corny. You're corny for that.
Exactly.
Okay. You wanted a threesome. There are much more savvy ways to make that pop.
Absolutely.
And none of which you've done.
None.
Like, you were basically like trying to kill an ant with a sledgehammer, dude, and it wasn't even necessary.
Because first of all, you know. Van's girl, well, she's a nice girl. The kind of girl you would see, you know, any morning going to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the regular, you know, black girl, you know, she's cute, not unattractive, you know, nice girl. But then you bring in old girl, Fendi, who's got, like, you know, multiple tats,
just looks
big cool. Ass fake yeah. Titties. I'm sure a very, you know, over plumped, you know, juiced up. Steroided ass,
yeah.
You know, and like, it's like, so even your girl looking at her is like, we're not even the same people. So you, again, like you said, you're just telling me that you wanted to blaze it if you haven't already. You wanted to blaze this with a cosign.
That's it.
That's all this was. Now, again, I don't know if this was written for the show, probably was or whatever, but I did like the fact that the dude came because all you niggas out here. Who you said try to act like you with the freaky shit and da 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 da. Okay, but what about, so it's okay for your girl to lay back and watch you go to town on some pussy and while she's in the bed next to you and stroking the girl's hair or whatever she's doing, sucking her titties, whatever she's doing. But
yeah,
it ain't okay for you to sit there and watch a nigga destroy your girl while you sitting there with your dick in your hand, waiting for this nigga to finish up
and
hearing her go crazy.
Because you could see he was thinking about that the moment he saw a dude.
Yeah,
because
the dude was in shape.
Dude was finna be balls deep. knocking the stuffing off that egg McMuffin.
Wow.
He ain't want no parts of that.
No parts
he ain't want no parts of that.
Yeah.
But again, like that's what the girl was saying in the previous, I think it's Jill or Jan.
Oh, his girlfriend.
Yeah, she was like, yo, that's not even freaky. Like a threesome is not freaky,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, and you just, he sounded corny, he felt corny, and he felt like a child.
Felt like a sucker.
And then he goes on about how the reason he was acting like that was because he was so sexually frustrated from being locked up.
For four
Again,
months.
Again, my nigga, you were gone for 4 months.
Yeah.
Like, stop acting
like you were down since that 08.
That had nothing to do with your desire to fuck old girl. Old girl came in there, and listen, I bet you this. I bet you she ain't paid for none of them tattoos you gave her.
None.
I bet you she let you suck a titty in the corner.
She basically has made Van her puppy.
That's my point. So, I'm going to come to the club, drinks on you.
Yep.
Right? Drinks on you. If I need some, I'm going to holler at
you. Might send in a couple nudes, you know what I'm saying?
There you go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I need, listen, man, I need $400 right quick.
Yeah.
To get my carburetor. Yeah,
exactly.
Get my carburetor.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure this one's going to rent.
Yeah, like come through and chill and all that bullshit. And
chill.
Come on, nigga. Like, you don't see, like, it's like, he's like a child.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even understand
that he's being played.
He doesn't even see it. Meanwhile, like, I wanted to tell him, like, yo, man, like, your girl don't seem like she new to this, my nigga.
At all. Now, yeah, his girl been around the block.
Look, nigga, I don't know what y'all do.
Yeah.
But if you found out that your girl was at a swinger party or two, don't be shocked.
Yeah, yeah. His girl, yeah, she
don't be shocked.
She ain't no quiet little church mouse.
She did not seem fazed
at all
about anything
at all. And if Van would have said, "All right, you and old boy, let's roll," she'd have been like, well, "Let's go."
Yeah.
And yeah. All right, yeah. Back. What's up? And it might have been giving old boy head on the way to wherever y'all was going. Like she's about it.
Yeah.
So. Peace to Black Ink, man. You know, we watch that every week. So, I wanted to mention Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which came on Sundays. We don't do a lot of TV this show. So, this is episode 2.
Yeah.
Of the season. This one centered a lot around Candy and Block, who's her Riley's dad, and the lack of his apparent lack of being involved in Riley's life.
Yeah.
We also had Sheree and Bob trying to figure out what they doing.
Bob trying to fuck. That's what Bob trying to figure out.
But you think
Bob trying to get smashed?
This is the question. Do you think Bob? You think Sheree really has been holding out on ass?
I think they might have smashed on a late night once. It's a storm.
Come on over here.
I made sure y'all all right. I'm coming over there and check on y'all. I got a flashlight.
I stopped by the Kroger.
It's a slip up or whatever. Listen, I mean, you're familiar with somebody. They see if it's no shots either way.
Yeah.
And I think they might have smashed once. Mm-hmm. Sheree probably felt like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Because he coming over here with bags now.
He trying to bring socks in the
drawer. Let me stop this shit right here.
And he's thinking...
It's going to be good, right? And so, I think that might have happened, and I think he's still... I don't think she's not okay with
him sort of recording...
Listen, she knows what it is.
Because she knows this nigga. I've known you since college.
The reality is he's safe, and I think, when you start to... Men and women, I think when you start to get to a certain age, that pool is shrinking
and shrinking. Yeah.
And so, he's shooting a shot.
He's kind of
courting her now.
As she wanted to be.
Yes.
And, deserves
it's
to be.
Fine.
And I think, we'll see where it goes. But, I think you're right. I think Bob, I'm ready to come home.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I'm ready to come home. I'm tired of Thanksgiving being all fucked up, Christmas being all fucked up, and I'm ready to come on home now. I ain't gonna be perfect now, but I'm ready to come on home.
Exactly.
And these kids, even though they grown, they older, they still I still want to be around them more regular. And again, I know you, me, we know each other for 30 years.
And what we're missing too is that they both seem to not have families. Where they are.
Yeah. Because I think Bob is from... I know he went to Stanford. I'm trying to remember where he grew up. But he's not... He's definitely not an Atlanta guy.
Yeah.
And Sheree's from Cleveland.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So this is not like people who have, support systems.
Extended family and cousins
family
and
all that. So everybody is a friend.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people that you can... do I trust to have my back type situation?
Yeah.
And I think they do. I mean, they've gone through their shit.
Yeah.
But I think they do.
But Sheree don't, I mean, it's funny. I've tweeted this the past couple of weeks, but it's really blowing me how much I really like Sheree now. She's my favorite cast member, it's only two episodes in to this point. She's almost except for the shit that goes on between her and Kenya, but Kenya can take anybody there. She's kind of the voice of reason on the show now. She's the one that the most kind of stable one as far as just being a grown up and a woman, been through some shit. It looks like she's kind of come out on the other side, still takes care of herself physically, mm-hmm. still working out. They come to her for shit. They come to her to talk now. Even, Candy's come to her. Phaedra came to work. No, Candy came and worked out with her and then kind of spilled about Riley, like, it just feels, I just like her. She seems like a cool, cool ass chick. Like, she'd be like fun.
I think
like,
I think she is. I think she's probably like one of the fun people at game night.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. She's not talking some shit.
Yeah.
But not aggressive. Just having a good time with her. And I think Bob is, like you said, the pool's shrinking. He done ran all around Atlanta. And he fuck am I doing, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, is she still looking good?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What you getting ready to do? You think you competing with them for them 22-year-olds?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Please. Stop it.
Cut the shit.
You know what I'm saying? Now, what do you think about old Matt and Kenya going to the family reunion?
All right. So, a couple things.
I didn't realize he was a New Yorker.
Fellas. I didn't realize he was a New Yorker by him thinking wearing boat shoes and pleated khakis was getting dressed up.
But you know what? I'll say this. And we've seen this before, even with the girl who calls herself New York. People from out of town will call somebody a New Yorker. And that nigga might be from Rochester.
Yeah.
Because she was from Utica.
Yeah.
And he was like, you New Yorker? But she's from Utica. Like,
that don't count.
That nigga might be from Kingston or Albany. Like, I don't get no boroughs vibe at all.
Yeah. Five boroughs, White Plains, Yonkers. Yeah, that's exactly. It.
And maybe he give a shade of Long Island. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but like. Yeah. But, like, I didn't get none of that from him. Yeah, you know, Roosevelt, them niggas. Yeah. But I didn't get none of that from him. Either he's from way, way, way out Long Island, or he's from up.
He's a square.
Yeah, and his family didn't give me that vibe.
Oh, Mr. Harold and Miss Maddie?
I love his parents, yeah.
But
definitely was no
I want to just say, too, like, fellas, like, when you... Just anybody, man. Like, when you're talking about your relationship, like, you can't just come to people and vent about the valleys.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if all you ever do is call your sister and vent
about... Guess what Kenya did now?
Yeah, like, what was she supposed to think? And then, too, like, you're a grown fucking man, dog.
True.
Check your sister. That's your lady.
Yeah.
Yo, chill.
Yeah.
This ain't your place.
Yeah.
And the fact that you playing this baby brother shit doesn't lend itself to you being a man. It just reeks of a child. And so every time we get into an argument, you're going to pack your little fucking Adidas bag in the closet, and you're going to run to your sister's house, or you're going to call your sister.
Yeah.
Like, now I got to worry about, you know, so there's always... this sort of internal pressure to please parents.
Yeah.
So now I gotta please your sister.
His sister was harder to please than his mom.
And I'm saying to myself, like, yo, first of all, why are you, like, where the fuck is your man, and why are you so concerned with him and his relationship?
True.
Seriously.
True.
Like, you, that shit was just, it was weird to me.
Yeah.
It was, I'm the baby, and I had three sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I've never dealt with that shit.
Yeah.
Like, never dealt with that shit. I've never had my mom be one of those, you gonna have to take care of me. And you know, like, nigga, that's your family.
Yeah.
Don't be over
don't
there.
Handle that.
You know, your father is my husband.
Yeah.
Like,
like,
dudes, like, stop that shit.
Yeah, I don't like that
stop
shit.
Stop that shit. Like, it's whack.
Yeah, my mother's not
weak.
Like that either.
It's like, yo, man, like, just don't do it, man.
Yeah.
And honestly, you can see Kenya sort of thrown back by it.
Yeah.
She's thrown off.
Yeah. Kenya held her head, actually, because she didn't, like, wild out. Like, she was definitely thrown by it, but she didn't really, like, bark back. She was just kind of like, it was almost like she was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting.
Because I think the sister was expecting that. I think
she was looking for confrontation.
Yes. The sister was looking for confrontation.
Yeah.
The sister was looking to make this a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of keeping it light, and instead of coming to her like, listen, you know, I just want to let you know Matt really loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He's dot, 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 dot. You know, he's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, that's fine.
That's normal.
But, like, you kneading into her and like, questioning her and just sort of going
on. You consider yourself a cougar?
Yeah, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
it's none of your fucking business. Go mind your business.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was a lot. And then what do you think about the Block thing is kind of hard for me because I know Block.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't know, you know, the details of his relationship, but I know Block. But, I mean, that... The way he was coming off was just.
Look, I don't know him. You know, I know Candy.
Mm-hmm.
I know Todd. I don't. Here's the thing. as a father, and the onus of a relationship can never be on your children.
She's only 14 now.
But this is, but you know, we watched this with Teddy from Black Ink New York.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's this, idea that, well, they got my number. If they want a relationship, they can reach out.
And the kids be like 11, 9.
What it really is, it's just a shift of responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's a justification. It's a way that they have made themselves feel good and feel better about not maintaining an adult relationship. Now, I've said this, a father in a child relationship, and be the adult, right? Like, and I've said this before, like, being an adult is fucking hard work.
It's real hard.
You got to get up every day and you got to be consistent.
Do your shit.
And you have to be consistent for your children.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you aren't, and what it tells me is that I don't even know that this is purely on some child support shit, because Candy has never
been. Candy has bread. Yeah.
So this isn't about.
Yeah.
This isn't. A baby mama mad at you because she not getting her, you know, $47 a week your check, right? Like, this isn't that. Like, your daughter, your baby needs a relationship with her father. And the fact that you have allowed so many years to go by to where, this was what, 4 years ago they showed that clip where she said, I don't really care if I have a dad. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, like, she's gone.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah.
So this idea of trying to sort of rekindle a relationship with your now 14, 15-year-old daughter, who has not only, you know, sort of been nurtured by her mom, but I'm sure her grandmother
and
has shit all over you.
Oh, you know, Joyce and Bertha and them killed it.
So that's a wrap. And she sees Todd daily.
Yep.
And he has his daughter, and he, you know, he seems engaged. He's trying to be, you know, there for her in any way he can. He's never seemed to have overstepped his bounds.
No.
I just think it was to me, man, it was whack. And I just gotta say too, man, like, it was just out of place for so many of the, like, the women in your life should not be the people telling you that you need to fucking man up.
Yeah.
That's a problem for me.
Yeah.
Like, when you have, because I know you have dudes around you, but when your dudes are not the people who are checking you, yo, what's up with your kid?
Yeah, man? Yeah, nigga, like,
we've been out three, you know,
we've been out every weekend this month.
And ain't said nothing about your
one time about, yo, I can't go because I got a...
Nothing?
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing, nigga?
Sweet every Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, so I just, you know, like, I don't really dig it. I don't like that. I'm going to just say this, too. I understand why a producer wants that story.
But you're a little uncomfortable with it.
I'm very uncomfortable.
Because it's real. It's too real.
I'm very uncomfortable because this isn't Candy and Block dealing with this.
It's Riley.
This is Riley, like, on camera.
She's 14. And you know, she's and 14, and, you know, she's an attractive girl, but she's very, you know, tall and big for her age.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure in school she deals with that, you know, people fucking with her because she's really tall. You know, she's a big girl. You're already pretty well developed. She's only 14, so she's probably dealing with a lot of that, you know, insecurities about her size and everything. You know, and she's not a fat girl. She's just a big girl because her pops is a big dude.
Yeah.
So that is weird, and, you know, and she's on TV, and, you know, people on fucking blogs are probably saying slick shit,
crazy
and
shit.
Twitter, and she's doing all of that, and then you pile this massive thing on top of it.
Like, I just feel like, you know, there have been a couple of times on TV when it was just like, this is, I can't watch this.
Yeah, it's not cool.
I was right at that point because I felt like I was, you know, it was just a little too intimate.
Yeah, it was too much. It was, I got you. No, I get it. I agree. And I mean, it looks like the storyline's gonna go at least till next episode, if not further. So we'll see, you know, how it kind of
and you know,
resolves.
Listen, I applaud old girl for trying to make amends, but You know, it's really not your
it's
place.
It's not our place.
It's not your place at all.
Yeah, like homegirl, have you ever even met Riley?
Like
you know what I'm saying? She might not have met her before.
And like, listen, man, I can understand a woman, right? Like, I don't know if they have children together, but I can understand a woman. She's probably getting only his side of the story.
Mm.
And I'm sure, because I can tell by the tone, she knows that there's some murky shit.
Yeah, there's some gray areas.
There's some gray area. Mm-hmm. Like, what he's telling me isn't exactly what
it is.
Yeah, it
doesn't really add up.
It doesn't really add up. And I may want to have children with this guy. Like, if I may want to.
So I'm wondering if he gonna do the same bullshit.
Exactly. So what is this? So I can understand why a woman in that position would feel the need to sort of get some answers,
mm-hmm,
and maybe even sort of try and mend that relationship. But it was just, it was, you know, how it was done was a little weird.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, and I mean, I don't know how surprised Candy was when she was in
the
studio.
Yeah, I mean, she mic'd up.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean. But, I mean, that can, you can quarantine people that people don't really know. I don't know how surprising it was. But then the other chick who was just sort of random and out of the clear blue with him in the studio with RL.
Yeah, it was RL's wife.
And it was kind of just like,
who's this? Because they didn't even do the chyros to say who they were. She's just talking.
Yeah.
Because I was like, is that RL in the back? Because he didn't really say much. It's like, shit was, I don't know.
So that was a little weird. And it seems like next, you know.
It turns up another notch next week. So we'll see where it goes.
Let's talk with this restaurant.
Good luck with that shit, man. And I just saw today that Nene is opening up, I think, like this weekend, a boutique with Bow Wow's mom. I'm like, that's another money pit. So God bless
good
for that.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, so we'll skip over Married to the Medicine. They always say Married to the Medicine, right?
It was the same shit.
It was the same shit, although, we'll talk about it real quick.
Oh, Eugene, man.
Yeah, Eugene, God bless him, man, because that girl don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
She's like, Toya is really the epitome of the kind of nouveau Atlanta person. Mm-hmm. She's like the epitome of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who moved down there for whatever reason from another city, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Black Hollywood and celebrity fronting in Atlanta and cars and houses and this and that. And she is determined to put on that show.
Yeah.
Of I got mad bread. I got
and
all the
land. It don't matter.
And it don't matter. Like, I'm not working. Like, money just flying. Like, money just, even Mariah's like, well, maybe you should kind of slow down with the spending.
And, you know.
And she's like, why should I?
I'm not a big put your foot down kind of guy, right? Like, I just feel like in a marriage, man, you guys should be at a point where it shouldn't take that for you guys to make the best decisions for yourselves.
And your family.
And your family, right? But like, all right, Eugene.
Yeah, enough.
It's time to fucking put your foot down.
Enough.
Okay. Like, you guys look fucking insane. Okay?
You got a house that's empty on the south side. And she says it's because, you know, somebody tried to kick the door in the house.
No.
Next door.
Yeah, next door.
Next door, yes. And kick the house next
Niggas
door.
Niggas get robbed every day, B.
Especially in Atlanta.
Every day.
Especially in Atlanta. And so you move out of this house, leave it empty, which means that if there are robbers case in this neighborhood, how long is it going to take for them to figure out this house is empty?
Yeah.
We can go get busy in here.
Nothing
anytime.
Exactly.
And it ain't nobody even in here. Then you move to, again, this was my thing, and then we can get off Married to the Medicine, because, whatever, but the thing about the Toya thing that really drives me insane is, okay, so the guy who lived in the house that they live in now, previous, he played for the Hawks. I can't remember which player, but he played for the Hawks. And he was like a sixth man or seventh man, I can't remember who it was. But, if you're making sixth, seventh man money in the NBA, you're probably making $6 to $8 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a shade higher, but we'll do that. 6 to 8 a year, right? Mm-hmm. Toya doesn't work at all, so she brings zero in. And Eugene is a emergency room doctor, which is probably capped out at, like we talked about before, 275. Let's push it to 3. Let's push it to 3 and a quarter.
Yeah.
You're taking a 3 and a quarter salary and moving it to a home that a nigga who made $8 million a year lived in.
You know, it's,
what
it's
are we doing here?
It's unreal.
You got two Porsches. They got the Porsche truck and they got the Panamera. Like, what are we doing? And you don't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got to stop it, man. So let's move
probably
on.
Probably on lease, too. But anyway.
Yeah, but let's move on. So, do you watch Insecure?
No, I don't. Actually, okay. I haven't.
I'll save that. I'll just say, Nia's not here, but we watch it. I'll just say that. Next week is the last episode. Yeah. So I guess there were eight for this season.
Yeah.
This last week's episode was fucking phenomenal. Like, it was
I saw the commentary online.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Like, it was amazing. Like, but you know, if you don't watch, I can't really kind of get into it because it's way too much to cover, but it was great. Next week is the season finale. Show's already been picked up for season two.
As it should.
Like, it's, you know, it's really, for those who aren't watching it, like, seriously, like, binge that over the weekend and catch up so you can watch the last one on Sunday because it's great. I wanted to mention Tribe Called Quest. Album came in number one.
Yeah.
Did $135, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Incredible for them. They did, had a great night. We didn't get to talk about SNL because we were here that week before. So it did SNL with Chappelle 2 weeks ago now. It was basically a Chappelle show. The show was the blackest SNL ever.
Mm.
They were great on the show. Last Sunday they did a dedication for Fife. They changed his street name to where he grew up, which is Linda Boulevard and 192nd Street, to Malik Fife Dog Taylor Way.
Yeah.
Which was great. And that was Saturday night. And then Saturday during the day. And then Friday night, they did a thing called Crown, which is this thing that Elliot Wilson does where he interviews artists. And I think it was on Tidal as well.
Okay.
So I went down there to see that and hung out with them for a little while there. So just wanted to give them a shout because they, you know,
yeah, peace to them.
It's 18 years.
Yeah, man. Like I've always said, man, that was the best job I've ever had.
Yeah.
Working with them. So peace to all of the guys that work with them. Light.
Yeah.
You know, Muhammad.
Yeah, Muhammad. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was good seeing him because I hadn't seen him.
And the album is
The album is dope.
Yeah,
album is dope. Yeah, album is good. Yeah. Let's jump into this Kanye thing, man.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, did you listen to the Bruno album?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think?
I don't hate it, but
you don't love it.
I don't love it.
Okay, why don't you love it?
How can I articulate this? Because I thought about how I can articulate this as I was driving and listening to it. It feels like what someone making a parody album might do,
like a Weird Al Yankovic,
to some degree, right? Like not a parody, right? Like, but someone who is talented trying to make this sort of sound, and I'm going to make this album, right? Like, as fun. I think he's immensely talented. I don't know that the album reflects that.
Okay.
I think that the album is fun, and I think it's light, and I think his music has been that, right? Like, he's not some sappy-ass love song dude.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't do fucking EDM music.
Yeah, yeah.
I personally love that era of music that he's trying to mimic, which is sort of that late 80s, early 90s tone. So it reminds me of bands. I love bands and stuff like that. So I like it, but I don't think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, as some other people are making it out to be. Do I think it'll live well? I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to be listening to this in the summer.
Okay.
You know.
Well, obviously, I can't say much because it's on the label, and I'm happy it came out because it puts money into the company.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I was talking to a cat that I work with walking out the building today, and he basically said what you said. He's like, the thing that, and he wasn't saying it like in a bad way. He wasn't like, I hate the album, but he was just like, you can hear every song, you can hear that it reminds you of something. He's like, this one song, it's like a New Edition record.
Yes.
And like, 24 Karat is literally a Solar Records record. It's like Lakeside.
It's Lakeside.
And every record is that. Like, this one is like, kind of like a Jodeci song.
Exactly.
And this one is a New Edition one.
That's what I'm saying about it feels very much like a parody. Like, it feels like someone, it's like, you know how when you see, like, Jamie Foxx does the John Legend thing, like, it feels like somebody who is immensely talented sort of playing around.
Yeah.
Not someone who's immensely talented and making a serious album with cultural significance. Mm-hmm. And listen, I don't want to make him out to be some heavy dude that needs to be that guy.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that I do expect, I kind of expect him to, I expect it a little more.
Okay.
You know, 9 songs, 33 minutes.
Yeah, those are the two. That's honestly, yeah. That's the one thing that did throw me, and I'll say this because it doesn't really, you know, I don't think it affects anything, but like, when I, because I pre-ordered it,
mm-hmm.
so when it, you know, when it popped up on my phone, I was like, oh, this thing didn't download all the way.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, well, where's the other songs at? Like, I realized, like, this dude made a 9-song album.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought, oh, the other 4 or 5 must have just not come yet or something. Yeah. I didn't realize.
And they're very short songs.
Yes, it's 33 minutes. So
this ain't like Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, with 12
and
minutes.
12 minutes and 18 minutes.
By the time I get to Phoenix.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And it's only 9 songs. It's 9 songs and it's 33 minutes. So it's a quick listen. It's an easy listen. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely going to listen again. I'm actually interested to see what Jordan thinks of it.
Me too, we'll actually. Find out. Me too. Let her hit Uncle Jeff on the Instagram or something.
Give me your review.
Give a review. Did you watch the AMAs at all?
No. And I can tell you the single reason that I did not watch the AMAs. There was one reason.
What's that?
Jay Farrow. Like
that. Now that's a nigga. He was literally doing an Eddie Murphy imitation the whole night. Like, the whole night, it was like, this dude, I wonder if he realizes that he is doing Eddie. Because it was like it was just his whole thing. It was like, this is Eddie.
God bless any man that's out here doing whatever he's doing.
Here you go.
Put some food on his table, right?
Keep some food in them babies' bellies.
I get it, and I am not knocking that. He's probably a really nice guy. But I wasn't going to watch that solely because I knew that that Jay-Z impression was inevitable.
You knew it was
inevitable. It was inevitable. You knew it had to happen.
There's no question.
And I just couldn't do it, man. Like, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't see it again. I couldn't hear it again. It was just like, yo, my man, like, yo, dude, like, this shit is corny now. This shit's corny. And I know, and I feel like in my heart, I feel like when he goes to those hipster-ass dinner parties of Williamsburg
with the cool
wipe, they're making him do that shit, bro.
Yeah.
They're making
him do Jay-Z.
Do Jay-Z.
Kanye. Yo, why are you going to do Kanye?
Come
do Kanye.
On. It's whatever, man.
So, yeah, so he's, like I said, he literally was like being like Eddie Murphy the whole night. Obviously not as funny as Eddie, being Eddie Murphy. What I did was I DVR'd it while Married to the Medicine.
Married to the Medicine.
And Real Housewives is on.
Okay.
And then, and Insecure, because all three of those came on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then after that, and then and the game, the Redskins and the Green Bay game.
Okay.
It was a lot of stuff on Sunday night. And so then I kind of blasted through it, like, after 11. And, you know, just kind of, like, saw what I wanted to see. Which wasn't a lot, honestly. Bruno's, you know, opened the show. Who else had a decent performance? You know who had a good performance, even though, I mean, I like the little Fifth Harmony girls. I think that Black Girls, she's way too young for me, but she's gorgeous. Mm. She's, like, stunning. Like, that girl's beautiful. And I'm wondering if eventually L.A. is going to spin her out eventually to go solo. Because she just has a thing, even, because they always play her. They don't never, like, put her in the center. Yeah. She's never, like, the one talking. But even that, she just, you just gravitate towards looking at her. She just has a thing where you look at her. You can't help. She just stands out without even trying.
Speaking of L.A., I just wanted to mention really quick, there's a podcast called How I Built This.
Okay.
And they did an L.A. Interview.
Oh, shit.
Which was pretty cool. There also is a Kathy Hughes podcast interview called How I Built This. That is incredible.
Really?
I would suggest anybody who is interested in just business in general
to listen
to Kathy Hughes's piece. It was really, really, it was great.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of, I mean, I don't know what the process or the requirements are, but I'm actually kind of surprised that maybe Kathy Hughes didn't get that Medal of Freedom. I wonder why. I don't know how they choose the people, but like, I think she could be qualified to get one. And does Barry Gordy have? I wonder if Barry Gordy has. He must have one.
Yeah, I'm sure Barry.
Barry must have one. Yeah. But, I mean, it's fine. I'm not saying that they shitted on her or anything. But if she would have been there today, it wouldn't have shocked me.
It wouldn't have shocked me.
It would have been like, oh, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Well, we know she won't be getting one over the next 4 years.
That's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's done.
At least that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, I just wanted to mention that because, like I said, I just kind of blasted through it. It wasn't anything really crazy or controversial. You know, it's just kind of like it just bugs me out when I watch, you know, I work obviously in entertainment, right, and work in music. But when I watch that and when I watch the Billboard Awards, I'm like, it's really like probably the same way some white cat would feel trying to watch the BET Awards. It's like music is as big as, you know, music is and it's supposed to be for everybody, whatever. It's always been this way. But even I think now, in a weird way, now more than in recent history, there's really a hard line between the black shit and the pop shit. Yeah. And there's a couple people who bleed over to the pop side. There's very few of them that bleed to the black side.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of them that are living in that pop world, whether they're music or it's like the YouTube stars or whatever. Like, I don't know who they are. Like, because they just, my man Ike Dirty was like, oh, it's because you're old. I was like, no, I mean, maybe that's it, but also it's because, like, I'm just not interested in that realm.
Well, it's not
because, I'm not interested in that music.
It's not because you're old, but there's also, again, man, the digital space has expounded. It is made, there's basically an infinite amount of space for music.
True.
Where not even, you know, 7 years ago, there wasn't an infinite amount of space. It was still limited to, you know, four or five places where you can get content. Mm-hmm. And now it's basically unlimited.
Yeah.
You can literally go anywhere and get music. And so it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're not, and I sort of liken it to a bit of like Twitter, right? Like when you go into these certain pockets of Twitter and you go down this rabbit hole and it's just like, whoa, what the fuck is this? And they have their own world and their own space.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's not an old thing. And I mean, even if it was, it's like I know good shit when I hear it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna make me feel like I'm old.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
And that's the thing. I'm like looking at some of the stuff, man, and I'm just like, you know, and you know, these groups they come and go every year. There's another big pop, you know, act with a big song that, you know, all the white kids is dancing to at the award shows, and then it's like, what the hell happened to them? Like,
I can tell you what happened. Well, we know what happens to them. The business happens to them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They start to recognize that, oh shit, I didn't write this song, I don't really get any money from it, I don't own any publishing, I have to, I basically signed a work-for-hire contract, I'm unrecouped. I don't have. I did a, like all of that shit. Like they start to get into the business because for the most of them, they are bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young kids from, you know, buttfuck nowhere, and they're happy to get on an airplane.
Yeah.
And then they realize that, oh shit, this record sold 10 million.
Yeah.
I got 10 and million downloads.
Meanwhile, I got a check for $3,800.
Exactly. And so that. You don't have a lot of creative energy in terms of bands and people sort of collaborating. It is cost prohibitive for labels to have bands. You are not finna fly, you know, seven motherfuckers with equipment all over the country doing radio spot dates.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work like that anymore. And so the business has changed. A lot of things have changed. And people's ears have changed. They're just not, you know, they're not really that interested. Listen, if you like some shit, there's something out there for you to find. If you want some adult R&B music, you can go find it if you go look for it. Mm-hmm. If you want folk music, you can go find it if you go look for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you know, peace to all of them, man. You know what I'm saying?
Bless their hearts.
Bless all their little little teeny weeny hearts and babies. I wanted to talk about what's it called? Kanye.
Yeah.
So Kanye been really going through it. Yeah, he's checked into a hospital in L.A. He's still there, apparently. He said he was acting really erratic at his trainer's house and tried to attack his trainer. And they called L.A. Fire, and they came. The paramedics came, and Ye was had calmed down by that point, but still didn't want to go to the hospital. So everybody, you know, convinced him to go, and they strapped him. They handcuffed him to a gurney. It's standard protocol. And he's still in the hospital. He had obviously had an episode in Sacramento a couple nights previous to that, mm-hmm. where he was on, performed, and I'm using air quotes for that, for 17 minutes and then left. And most of those 17 minutes were rants about Hov and about Beyonce and, you know, everything. And then the next night was in, supposed to be L.A. That got canceled. And, you know, he, then the next day after that is when he went to the joint. Mm-hmm. Everybody on Twitter, is, you know, doing their own diagnosis about what they think happened and what's wrong with the boy. And it must be because of his mom's death, of his mom's anniversary and all this. And I'm like, I'm not saying that the death of his mom didn't affect him deeply. For someone whose mom just died a year ago, I can tell you it does. But that doesn't give anybody the right to just wild out every anniversary. Now, either he has to deal with it, if indeed this is even what is causing this. Mm. And I suspect that doesn't help the situation, but I don't think that is the situation.
Yeah.
I think it's way more than that. But if this is, he needs to figure it out and try to get some help for it, because his mom has been gone for about seven, eight years now. So he has to figure this out and get some help for it, and, you know, figure out how he's going to move on with the rest of his life. But it's bugged to me that, like, literally 2 days ago, when he was doing the rants and shit, they're like, yo, man, fuck that nigga, man, blah, 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 blah. Now he gets taken to the hospital, and everybody's, you know, prayers up for Kanye. It's like, well, which one is it, my niggas?
Yeah.
Or is it both? I don't know.
The reasoning of his mother's passing being the justification or the trigger to cause his rants and his breakdown or whatever we calling what he does doesn't jive, because this behavior has been consistent even before his mom passed away.
Absolutely.
This behavior has been consistent, and we have continually given him and fed his ability
to do whatever
he wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
under the guise of genius or under the guise of keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an entire generation, and I'm definitely going to get off my lawn status right now. There's an entire generation of kids who have grown up with no fucking tact.
Mm-hmm.
And no sense of how to talk to people or deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
This whole, I don't bite my tongue for nobody, and saying it with this pride is just like, you know, I get to say whatever I want and fuck how everybody else feels, because I'm keeping it real.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking whack.
It's okay? Whack.
It's
most of you niggas ain't obviously had your jaw tapped, because you wouldn't have that attitude.
And you know, When I see Kanye, listen, Kanye has accomplished his goal of acquiring the access and privilege of a rich white man.
Yeah.
He has the access and privilege of, you know, a wealthy white man, and he will get the help that he needs. So while I'm not taking any glee.
Yeah, in of course this, not. No,
because really what I see is, because I don't really give a fuck about, like, the artist Kanye. Like, mm-hmm. I don't wear his clothes.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck about the music.
You don't buy the sneakers, bro?
fuck out. I'm not wearing them fucky ass moon boots. Paying $1,000 for some Adidas.
What about the sweatshirts?
Adidas?
The sweatshirts with the hole in them.
Adidas, bro. Nah, I'm good. But far more than anything, what I see is a father.
Yeah.
And I see
husband.
A husband. I see a you know, the man of a house. Mm. You know, so that's where my concern lies. Mm. Like how does he function outside of all of this other shit? And, you know, what I see is I see a lot of excuses.
That's my issue.
I see a lot of excuses for someone who has made it very difficult to be friends with, to be around, mm-hmm. to enjoy time with. And we make these excuses and like he hasn't had a role in why Jay ain't fucking with him.
That's my point.
And he pretends like, you know, you don't really sort of get it. Now, listen, I'm just talking from the outside.
Yeah, we don't know the intricate details.
I don't know the intricate details of their relationship or any sort of inside industry gossip about what that means. What I know is what I see, and I see a dude that looked like he was like, okay, I'm not fucking with him like that.
Yep.
Like, I'm good.
Yep.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And now you look up and you don't really have the adulation of all of these white folks in Europe that you were so gung-ho about
with the
getting.
Fashion shit.
Exactly. And they're not calling your phone like that.
Yeah.
Because I find it very funny. Like, you didn't mention about none of them motherfuckers calling you.
True.
You didn't mention nothing about none of them calling you when Kim had that, you know, got robbed and was jammed up. So now it's Jay's duty.
Yeah,
it's
now
our duty.
It's like Jay call Ye.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, look, man.
My suspicion with the Hov thing again, and I'm talking shit because I don't know any details. Is but just, you know, and I haven't been around Hov in quite a long time, so I can't say I even know him anymore. But you know, having been around him a bit, you know, years ago, like you said, he's the kind of cat then. That, you know, obviously Brooklyn dude, you know, street cat, you know, that did, you know, did his dirt or whatever. So he's always trying to find ways to not cause ripples. Because in his line of work previous to this, causing ripples was deadly.
It's bad for business.
It's bad for business, and it can be deadly.
Yes.
So he's not trying to cause ripples. He's not you know, the super flash stunt dude. I mean, he always had nice stuff, but he's not that guy, really. And now you see, as the higher, as he ascends, the lower he gets. Like, I'm talking about being low.
Yeah.
You don't see him much. He does no press.
Yeah.
None. And he might never do press again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's just, you don't see him daily. He's not on the grab. He's not, he's doing none of that shit. And I think that, you know, I'm assuming probably what happened was it was too much rippling going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and after Watch the Throne, there was a lot of rippling. And he probably was like, I'm going to let this rock for a minute. And then he also realized, Hov, that if you come around, again, I'm talking shit. But I'm assuming if you come around, your wife comes around,
and the cameras come around,
and the paparazzi come around,
yeah.
and even if it's not your doing, fam, I can't have my wife and baby around that.
Yeah.
So either we're gonna figure this out, or we could be cool low.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna have to pull back because I can't afford for E or fucking TMZ to have a camera in my face. I think that was kind of what spurned a lot of Hov pulling back. Besides the fact that, you know, Ye, you know, from outside looking again, can be a bit erratic. And I bet a couple of times Hov probably was like, yo, listen to this ranting shit. What's going on?
And I think we've spoken to people who have been around him for extended periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
That this is not, like, what you guys have seen in these clips, these are not one-offs.
Yeah.
This is a very consistent thing. Like, he will, like I think, if I remember correctly, the dude said, like, Kanye will talk about Kanye for as long as Kanye wants.
Exactly. And you got to listen.
And you got to listen. And you got to be attentive to that shit. And I just find it, you know, there are a lot of people that are giving, you know, diagnosis and talking about
Twitter diagnosis.
He very well may have that, but there is not an excuse for the ridiculousness of his behavior that hasn't been before his mom died, that won't be after his mom died. And I don't mean to sound callous or cavalier about losing your mother, but what I'm saying is that that does not give you carte blanche to be an asshole.
That's my point.
It does not give you the, you know, you being stressed and you being this. Personally, I don't even think that. I think that that was, let me say this, and let me, I just want to be careful with how I word this. I don't think that what happened was staged.
The robbery.
No. The meltdown.
Oh, the meltdown. Okay.
I don't think that any of that was staged. Mm-hmm. I don't think that any of that was planned and plotted.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's having a breakdown. Mm-hmm. Like I've said earlier in this show, touring is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And could he have just been going, you know, going through it? Positively. This definitely, the going to the psychiatric hospital and all of that, definitely feels like a lawyer play to some degree.
To cover the
insurance. Yeah, because insurance becomes very tricky when you cancel dates like that.
You canceled the tour. Like half a tour.
So
a lot of money.
You have to remember, like, you know, you have different levels of people on tour. You have people that are contracted throughout the tour. Mm-hmm. You have people who are expecting money, expecting payments, people who have planned, who've adjusted. They may have even had estimates on their year, the end of their year's financials.
Absolutely.
Based on this. So that's a lot of people, you know, looking around, and now somebody's kid might not get the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip.
Somebody ain't
get
the Xbox.
Somebody ain't getting that Xbox, bro.
Yeah.
And that is something people behind the scenes have to figure out. And it's okay, right? Like, he's not the first person to do this. He won't be the last person to do this. That's perfectly fine. And he very well may have needed this break.
Yeah.
But it definitely feels
kind of like we gotta cover ourselves.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they're in that mode. And listen, maybe that's me looking at the Kardashian angle, the Chris angle. Because
that's what I'm wondering. Is this gonna be on the show?
I would definitely expect it to be on the show if they're still taping.
I do they ever stop taping? It feels like they never stop.
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, I'm sure that they do take a break. But if they're in taping, I mean, I would definitely think that they have to get some angle of this. They may not be able to show, you know, a super live footage, but it'll definitely be. It'd be crazy for a producer to not address it, unless they got specific instructions
to not
address this, which I don't know if that's, you know.
Something I mean, they would do. Of course, like nobody here wants him to have a bad way or, you know, somehow not be healthy. But like you said, that's my whole issue. It's like, yo, fam. And I tweeted that to somebody today.
Yeah.
Somebody I knew too, and they didn't answer. They were like, "Yo," they wrote the thing about his mom. They go, "His mom," and I was like, "Well, you know, my mom's died around this time too. Does that give me a pass? Do I get a pass now? I can just go ahead and wild the fuck
and
out,
just go crazy,
and go crazy, to curse everybody out, you know, slap somebody, and then be like, hey, you know, it's because I'm going through what I'm going through. Like, you can't. That's not real. Again, I'm not trying to sound callous, but people lose family members every day, and of course, people grieve differently, and you know, but just because this dude is a celebrity and he's made some, you know, great and interesting music over the years, doesn't mean that because it doesn't make his loss greater than, you know, Kev, who worked at FedEx, whose mom died last year. Come on, fam. Kev don't get to go to FedEx and be like, fuck you, boss. Da-da-da-da. And everybody goes, yo, it's because his mom's like, give him his job back. It doesn't.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work like
and,
that.
And aside from that, I just feel like we constantly find a built-in excuse for him. When it was the Taylor Always. Swift shit, it was, oh, you know, he was, you know, he's drinking a Henny.
Yeah, he's on a Henny that night. You know, oh, shit.
And we laugh at him. And we sort of, there's the class clown sort of relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Where he does this thing where all the adults in the room know better. We all know better.
And they let it ride.
And we just don't say anything. Yeah. We laugh just and we joke just, and we, oh, you go. Know how that's just Kanye being Kanye. And then, you know, we look up and then there's another thing.
You know who knows like that?
Who?
Donald Trump.
Yes. I was getting to that.
Donald
right?
Trump and Kanye have a lot of very similar personality characteristics.
Which is not surprising to me in a lot of ways.
I think their birthday is actually not that far apart. They're both Gemini's.
I just think that we constantly find reasons to justify his behavior.
Just where like there Donald
is
Trump. None,
where there is no justification ever.
And then it gets so far out of hand that now it's uncontrollable. And now he's, you know, Ye's an almost 40-year-old man. Donald Trump is 70.
Yeah.
Now, how are you supposed to stop the train now?
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I mean, look, like I said, God bless him. I hope he gets better for himself and for his family. He has two children that he has to be conscious of. He has a wife now that he has to be concerned with. And I think that even, and you know, some people have mentioned Azalea Banks, and I just feel like we have... I'm no doctor, but it's beginning to feel like every time someone is an asshole,
it's mental health.
We go into this mental health defense as though that's purely the only reason why they are behaving like
exactly.
that. It's like no one's an asshole anymore.
Yeah, no one's just a fucking jackass.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we need to talk about mental health issues. Some people are just fucking jackasses.
Some people are just fucking mean-spirited, surly, nasty people, and it's what they are.
So it
and
is.
I mean, it is what it is. And I, you know, I'm kind of indifferent to it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I hate to sound like that, but it's like, look, you know what? I'm not overly concerned with this guy. I mean, he's gonna be fine. He'll get the care that he needs. Like you said, this ain't Kev that work at FedEx.
Yeah,
this ain't somebody who can go and take a month off and be in a hospital.
Yeah,
because guess what? Kev got to deal with the same shit, the same loss. But Kev got to make sure that
Kev, you know, might get 2 days off.
And they taking that out as PTO.
Yeah, exactly.
The main just two regular days.
Yeah. We ain't gonna pay you for the days. You wasn't here, my nigga.
Yeah.
Or you gotta use some sick days. Exactly. And then come Monday morning.
Kev got to be back there. He got to be smiling.
Exactly.
He got to be doing jazz hands for the white folks.
Exactly.
And making sure everybody's okay.
Everybody cool. You all right, Kev? Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And it's back to work like you buy a week. In a week, ain't nobody asking
Ain't nobody
about
asked
shit.
But Kev about nothing.
Yeah, except about the packages or whatever's going on.
That's it. So,
so like I said, we hope he gets healthy, but I don't like this excuse zone, like you said, that we seem to go into every time a celebrity jumps out the fucking window and does some foul shit. Like,
yeah.
Immediately we start making excuses. It's like, nah, some people, whether they're celebrities or not, are foul.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, not good.
This is what it is. So, yeah, that's kind of it. We're going to wrap it up. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yep.
We hope everybody has a great time with their family and loved ones and eats and drinks and laughs
man.
And Uncle Charles
and
Uncle Junior, his
Uncle
new girlfriend.
Junior, his new girlfriend coming over with that Christian Brothers.
Coming over there talking about, I know I do a snap, chap snap.
Chap snap. Show me that film.
Show me that chap snap. And we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.